Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Good House 1968. This is Brother White speaking. What I do is read and interpret from the Tanakh. It's the Hebrew Bible. I'm going to open with a word of prayer and then I'll begin the program. We have a good short program for you today. Good, I petition you that you open the eyes of the brothers and sisters where they're able to see what goes on in their surroundings, interpret it through a spiritual way, using the scriptures, the Bible as their counsel. I pray that you give them the ability to understand the scriptures as they read them and to open their hearts and their minds where they're able to make the right decisions and right choices. I pray this in the name of Yeshua. Amen. We're at Bar Midbar, or Numbers, chapter 21. And it goes to say, then the king of Arad, Kenani, who lived in the Negev, heard that Israel was approaching by way of Atarim. So he attacked Israel, took some of them captive. Israel made a vow to Gud, or Yod-Ha-Vav-Ha, if you will hand this people over to me, I will completely destroy their cities. Yod-Ha-Vav-Ha listened to what Israel said and handed over Kenanim, so they completely destroyed them and their cities and named the place Harmah, complete destruction meaning. Then they traveled from Mount Hor on the road toward the Sea of Suf in order to go around the land of Edom. But the people's tempers grew short because of the detour. The people spoke against God and against Moshe. Why did you bring us out of Egypt? So they're coming back with the same old thing again of what that they were had is so good in Egypt when they were being tormented in Egypt. To die in the desert, there's no real food, there's no water, and we're sick of this miserable stuff we're eating. So they're complaining even though they had meat, and they're complaining again to the Creator. In response, Yod-Ha-Vav-Ha sent poisonous snakes among the people. They bit the people, and many of Israel's people died. The people came to Moshe and said, we sinned by speaking against Yod-Ha-Vav-Ha and against you. Pray to Yod-Ha-Vav-Ha that he rid us of these snakes. Moshe prayed for the people, and Yod-Ha-Vav-Ha answered Moshe, make a poisonous snake, put it on a pole. When anyone who has bitten sees it, he will live. Well, Moshe made a bronze snake and put it on the pole. If a snake had bitten someone, then when he looked toward the bronze snake, he stayed alive. So this is good counteracting the poisons of the snakes that he sent to plague on Israel through Moses with the bronze snake if they looked upon that they yet live. The people of Israel traveled on and camped at Avad. From Avad they traveled and camped at Ayeha-Avarim in the desert fronting Moab on the east. From there they traveled and camped in Vadi-Zerat. From there they traveled and camped on the other side of Arnon in the desert. The river comes out of the territory of Emori, for the Arnon is the boundary between Moab and the Emori. This is why it says in the Book of Wars of Yod-Ha-Vav-Ha, Vahav at Sapha, the Vadis of Arnon. And the slope of Vadis extending as far as the site of Ar, which lie next to the territory of Moab. From there they went to Beer well, that is, the well about which Yod-Ha-Vav-Ha said to Moshe, of some of the people, and I will give them water. Then Israel sang the song, Spring up, O well, sing to the well, sung by the princes, dug by the people's leaders, with the scepter, with their staffs. From the desert they went to Matanah, from Matanah to Nachaliah, from Nachaliah to Bamoth, and from Bamoth to the valley by the plain of Moab at the start of the Pisgah range, where it overlooks the desert. Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of Amorite, with this message, Let me pass through your land. We won't turn aside into fields or vineyards, and we won't drink any water from the wells. So they're coming with to the, this king with the same thing they did before. We will go along the king's highway until we have left your territory. But Sihon would not allow Israel to pass his territory. Instead, Sihon mustered all his people and went out into the desert field to fight Israel. On reaching Yaschek, he fought Israel. Israel defeated him by force of arms and took control of his land from the Arnon to the Yabbok River, but only as far as the people of Ammon, because the territory of the people of Ammon was well defended. Israel took all these cities. Israel lived in all of the cities of Amorai and Heshbon and all its surrounding towns. Heshbon was the city of Sichon, the king of Amorai, who had fought against the former king of Moab and conquered all his land up to the Arnon. This is why the storytellers say, Come to Heshbon, let it be rebuilt. Let Sichon's city be restored. For fire burned out of Heshbon, a flame from the city of Sichon. It consumed Ark of Moab, the lords of Arnon high places. Woe to you, Moab, you are destroyed, people of Chemosh. He let his sons be fugitives and his daughters captives of Sichon, king of Amorai. We shut them down, Heshbon is destroyed, all the way to Divon. We even laid waste to Naphoth, which extends as far as Midbar. Thus Israel lived in the land of Amorai. Moshe sent men to reconnoitre Yasser. They captured its towns and drove out the Amorai who were there. Then they turned and went up along the road of Bashan and Og. The king of Bashan marched out against them, he with all his people, to fight Edrei. Yod-Ha-Vav-Har said to Moshe, Don't be afraid of him, for I have handed him over to you with all his people and his land. You will treat him just as you did Sihon, king of Amorai, who lived at Heshbon. So they struck him down with his sons and all his peoples until there were no one left alive. And then they took control of his land. So we see here that those Israelites that were left alive to fight the wars, even though Good said that none of them would actually see the land flowing with milk and honey except their children. Those that were left alive fought with Moses. So we see this much. And it goes to say, Then the people of Israel traveled on and camped in the plains of Moab beyond the Jordan River, opposite Jericho. Now Balak, the son of Tzippor, saw all that Israel had done to Amorai. Moab was very afraid of the people because there were so many of them. Moab was overcome with dread because of the people of Israel. So Moab said to the leaders of Midian, This horde will lick up everything around us, and the way an ox licks up grass in the field. Balak the son of Zippor was king of Moab at that time. He sent messages to Balaam the son of Beor at Pittor by the Euphrates River in his native land to tell him, Listen, a people has come out of Egypt, spread all over the land, and settled down next to me. Therefore, please come and curse these people for me, because they are stronger than I am. Maybe I will be able to strike them down and drive them out of the land, for I know that whomever you bless is in fact blessed, and whomever you curse is in fact cursed. The leaders of Moab and Midian left, taking with them the payment for divining, came to Balaam and Midian. Came to Balaam and spoke to him the words of Balak. He said to them, "Stay here tonight, and I will bring you back whatever answer Yadhavavha tells me." So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. God came to Balaam and said, "Who are these men with you?" Balaam said to God, "Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent me this message. The people who came out of Egypt have spread over the land. Now come and curse them for me. Maybe I will be able to fight against them and drive them out." God answered Balaam, "You are not to go with them. You are not to curse the people because they are blessed." Balaam got up in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, "Return to your own land, because Yadhavavha refuses to give me permission to go with you." The princes of Moab got up, returned to Balak, and said, "Balaam refuses to come with us." Balak again sent princes, more of them and of the higher status than the first group. They went to Balaam, said to him, "Here's what Balak, son of Zippor, says. Please don't let anything keep you from coming to me. I will reward you very well, and whatever you say to me, I will do. So please come and curse this people for me." Balaam answered the servants of Balak, "Even if Balak were to give me his palace filled with silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of good, my God, to do anything great or small. Now please, you two, stay here tonight, so that I may find out what else Yadhavavha will say to me." God came to Balaam during the night and said to him, "If the men have come to summon you, get up and go with them, but do only what I tell you." So Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. But God's anger flared up because he went, and the anger of Yadhavavha stationed himself on the path to bar his way. He was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. The donkey saw the angel of good standing on the road and sword in his hand. So the donkey turned off the road into the field, and Balaam had to beat the donkey to get it back on the road. Then the angel of good stood on the road where it became narrow as it passed among the vineyards and had stone walls on both sides. The donkey saw the angel of Yadhavavha and pushed up against the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against the wall. So he beat it again. The angel of good moved ahead and stood in a place so tight that there was no room to turn either right or left. Again the donkey saw the angel of good and lay down under Balaam, which made him so angry that he hit the donkey with his stick. But Yadhavavha enabled the donkey to speak, and it said to Balaam, "What have I done to you to make you beat me these three times?" Balaam said to the donkey, "It's because you've been making a fool of me. I wish I had a sword in my hand. I would kill you on the spot." The donkey said to Balaam, "I'm your donkey, right? You've ridden me all your life, right? Have I ever treated you like this before?" "No," he admitted. Then good opened Balaam's eyes so that he could see the angel of good standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell on his face. The angel of good said to him, "Why did you hit your donkey three times like that? I have come out here to bar your way because you are rushing to oppose me." The donkey saw me and turned aside three times, and indeed, if she hadn't turned away from me, I would have killed you by now and saved it alive. Balaam said to the angel of good, I have sinned. I didn't know that you were standing on the road to block me. Now, therefore, if what I am doing displeases you, I will go back. But the angel of good said to Balaam, now go on with the men, but you are to say only what I tell you to say. So Balaam went along with the princes of Balak. When Balak heard that Balaam had come, he went out to meet him in the city of Moab at the Arnon border, in the farthest reaches of the territory. Balak said to Balaam, I sent more than once to summon you. Why didn't you come to me? Did you think I couldn't pay you enough? Balaam replied to Balak, here I've come to you, but I have no power of my own to say anything. The word that God puts in my mouth is what I will say. Balaam went with Balak. When they arrived at Kiriath Hazzot, Balak sacrificed cattle and sheep, then sent to Balaam the princes with him. In the morning, Balak took Balaam and brought him up to the high places of Baal. From there, he could see a portion of the people. So here we see God instructing this guy Balaam on what to do and what to say. And it's something that he's done many times, is sent an angel to instruct us or to instruct the brothers of and sisters of Israel on what methods to take in complex situations or situations that will cause a harm to the people of Israel, to the servants of God. He sends his angel. And this is something we want to be remembered today, because it says in the scriptures, you may be entertaining angels and you don't know it. So we want to remember that and always consult with God first on situations that become complex or things that we may not understand or we need counseling on. We want to pray over those things for Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to open a door for us to see and be able to make the right decisions. All right, that is my reading for today of the scriptures. And what we got out of this is that God would not let his people Israel be cursed or harmed once it came to seeing the promised land as he was taking them through to it. Now we'll go to the vocabulary, and my first word that I'm going to spell out, it means of place or latter part, and it's Aleph, Het, Resh, Yud, Tav. Our next word means bethinks, another to avoid naming. It's Aleph, Het, Resh. Our next word means descendants of Judah. It's Aleph, Het, Resh, Het, Lamed. Our next word means belonging to the realm, royal. Aleph, Het, Shin, Tav, Resh, and Yod, ending with a cross on the end of it. Our next word is make firm, strong. Aleph, Mem, Resh. Our next word to emit a moaning or creaking sound. Aleph, Mem, Mem. And our next word, gentleness. It means gentleness. Aleph, Mem. And with a T on the end of a Mem. Our next word, Aleph Mem, is Aleph Mem Mem, and it means shut or shut up. Those are my vocabulary words for today, and what we want you to remember is we walk by faith and live by the Spirit, meaning we let the Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, direct our every moves and our every whim as far as it comes and concerns to doing God's will. All right, that is it for the lessons for today, brothers and sisters. I'm going to say a prayer. Good, I petition you that you open the eyes of the brothers and sisters and be able them to pierce and learn from these lessons, to be able to do your will and to obey you and to serve you righteously and to honor your word and the spirit that they should live by. Ruach HaKodesh. I pray this in the name of your son, Yeshua. Amen.